Blog Talk Radio.
And all access is all inclusive.
Woo! It's go time. It's show time. It's August 12th time, and that means it's the Fantasy Football Insiders live in prime time, breaking it down for you over the next 2 hours. You know how we do it. I am your host, Rick Saratella, bringing it to you 2 hours of commercial-free fantasy football talk. You want to win rings and things, then this is the place to be. But before we get into it, we're going to welcome in the stars of the show. As you know, blessed to be with us right out of Midnight Mass, the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, always popping his collar.
Hey,
what's going on, guys? Rev, don't sound too excited there. We only got football season, 5 games last night.
Hey, I'm excited. Let's go. Let's do this.
And the good Rostradamus Ross Mandel, always rubbing his crystal balls, looking into the fantasy football future.
Oh, I see dead people, baby. Let's get it going.
All right, guys. This is our fantasy football breakdown season preview show. We're going to go position by position, break down our fantasy rankings, tier one, tier two, tier three, et cetera, rookies, players to avoid, stud dud sleepers, all that good stuff. If you already know, then you know how we do it. If you're welcome, new to the show, hop on board. We encourage you to get down in the chat room. You can log in for an account. It takes about 2 seconds of your time. You can get your questions in there. We're going to be answering your questions on the phone line. We already got a caller on the line. We're going to go over to him in a second. Actually, let's welcome into the show Chicago Russell 312 on the line. What's on your mind, Russ?
How you guys doing? I'm in a 12-man PPR league, staring at the swing picks at 12 and 13. I've been seeing guys like LeSean McCoy come down, Roddy White, Andre Johnson. Do I go quarterback and running back, or do I go Andre Johnson and Roddy White, double up on the receivers early?
Well, that's a PPR league. I do suggest you get one of those running backs early. Me, myself, you know, I think you could wait until the middle round and get a good quarterback. You know, a guy like Eli Manning is going to slide into the mid to late rounds, and he's good for close to 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns. I think his interceptions will come down a little bit. He had 30 touchdowns last year. So I would definitely make sure if you can get Andre Johnson, I'd go hands down. I would make sure you get one of those running backs. LeSean Shady McCoy at 12 or 13 sounds good to me. I'm going to take a deep breath, pass it over to the left-hand side. Ross Mandel, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you, Rick. I think you definitely wait on the quarterback. And if you got back-to-back and you got Roddy White, Andre Johnson, and McCoy, you definitely grab McCoy and, you know, flip a coin. I'm a big Andre Johnson guy. I'm a big Roddy White guy. I think you can't go wrong with McCoy and either of those receivers. But I don't know, man. I think McCoy might be gone by the time you pick. So you got to be careful. I don't think you want to end up with a Steven Jackson or a running back like that. So I don't know. I'd be careful. McCoy would be an easy pick for me, but I would avoid a guy like Steven Jackson if he's tempting you there.
Yeah, well, yeah, honestly, I see LeSean McCoy as a top five running back. So
I agree,
mean, if he's, yeah, so if I see him there within the first five or six picks, I'm all over him.
All right, what if a guy like MJD is falling down? Do you guys avoid him because of the injury risk?
Yeah, I'm not too keen on MJD this year. He's got that bone-on-bone condition. And going back to last year, they wanted to reduce his carries. I think they're going to try to reduce his carries even more this year with Rashad Jennings waiting in the wings. So
Ralph,
I'm not that high on MJD.
Ralph, who's a guy who might be there, a running back? You think a Peyton Hillis slides that far? Or
yeah, he'll be there.
I think that Peyton Hillis is a top 10 guy, so if he slides down to that position, again, I'm all over him, too.
Yeah, all right, fellas, I appreciate the time.
Yeah, no problem, Russ. Just make sure you don't wait too long on that running back, because picking back-to-back 12-13, you got to wait for that snake to come all the way back around again, another, you know, 12, 24 picks, whatever it is. You don't want to get left without a stud running back, and a guy like Peyton Hillis might be there for the picking. Another guy in the news today, Lee Evans, gets traded to Baltimore for a fourth-round pick. Buffalo obviously didn't want the guy goes over to Baltimore playing opposite Anquan Boldin, maybe hold the fort for Torrey Smith over there. We'll talk about that when we get to wide receivers, but I want to dive in to the quarterbacks here on the Fantasy Football Insider Show. Rick Servitella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, breaking it down position by position. And like I said, we're going to talk quarterbacks. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to know Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Mike Vick. These guys are clear-cut tier one guys. So to kick off the quarterbacks, what I want to ask you guys is there any quarterbacks taking that next step into the elite, into that tier one group? And we'll kick it off with Rostradamus, Ross Mandel.
Oh, absolutely. Phillip Rivers is now elite, baby. I'd rather have him than Brady or Manning this year. And, yes, you heard me correctly. I think he's firmly entrenched in that top tier.
All right, so Phillip Rivers taking that step up into that tier one for Ross. Rev, do you agree with that? And do you have anybody else joining in that tier one group in your fantasy football quarterback rankings?
Yeah, I have to agree on Phillip Rivers. He's a lock for about 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns this year. And the other guy I'd like to include into that top tier is Mike Vick. Now, I know a lot of people get nervous about his injury issues, his reckless way of playing, but, I mean, when this guy is sound, when this guy's on top of his game, I mean, this guy can just pull your team into victory, put your team on his shoulders, and lead you to victory. So I would put him up there, too.
You know, I thought it was interesting. Go ahead, Ross.
I was going to say, yeah, I think he belongs up there, but, man, as soon as I draft him, I'm already nervous because, man, he gets hit a lot.
Yeah, you got to hold your breath, but, you know, let's be fair. Vic did lead a lot of leagues in fantasy football points overall last year. You know, it was interesting listening to Warren Sapp on the NFL Network the other day. He actually threw out Josh Freeman as an MVP candidate in the league. Let me ask you, Ross, I mean, what's your take for fantasy football purposes? Seemed to have gotten a lot done with a weak supporting cast. Not much to work with aside from Mike Williams. Of course, you got Aurelius Ben in the mix this year. Kellen Winslow, what do you see from Josh Freeman? Is he going to take that next step?
I think all three of us have been very high on him since he started playing. And I have him definitely in the second tier with guys like Romo and Schaub. So I think he's definitely a fantasy starter at this point.
Well, I definitely disagree with you on Tony Romo as a Tier 2 quarterback. We'll talk about him in a second. Who else you got going in your Tier 2 quarterbacks?
I got, at the lower end of that, I got the two young guys. I got Bradford and Stafford. Hopefully he'll stay healthy. I got Roethlisberger and Matty Ice. That's my second tier.
Interesting. Okay, so you're throwing Stafford into the mix despite the injuries in your Tier 2, I assume, towards the bottom of that group.
Correct. But I like him. I just hope he stays healthy.
I do like him. That's a big if. Let's toss it over to the Reverend here for his Tier 2 quarterback rankings. Who do you got there?
Well, I definitely have Matt Schaub up there, over 4,000 yards over the past 2 years. Hasn't missed a game in 2 years and averages about 283 yards per game over the past 3 years. You can't go wrong with him. And like Ross, I also have Tony Romo up there. You know, Tony Romo is one of those guys who is a better fantasy quarterback than he is a real-life quarterback.
Exactly.
I mean, the guy was ranked third in points per game before getting hurt last year. And he also has a favorable strength of schedule. Josh Freeman is also up there among my Tier 2 quarterbacks. He's got running ability. He's got size. He's got the arm strength. And he also had 10 touchdowns over 20 yards last year. That's mighty impressive. Matt Ryan also makes the list. He quarterbacked the fifth-best scoring offense in 2010 and now has guys like Julio Jones and Jacquizz Rodgers in the offense. So I think that team should only get better, and Matt Ryan should only get better. And then finally, I also have Ben Roethlisberger among the Tier 2 quarterbacks. Look, the Steelers run the ball a lot, but they also hit on a lot of big plays, a lot of big pass plays, and only Rivers and Aaron Rodgers had a higher yards per attempt in terms of throwing the ball. So Ben Roethlisberger is also there.
Yeah, you look where Big Ben finished last year. He was a top 10, 15 quarterback easy, and he missed the first four games of the season. So I definitely agree with all those guys except for Tony Romo. I got to bring it back to the guy that, you know, if you're drafting this guy to be your number one starting quarterback for your fantasy football team, then you are just begging to lose your league, because that's what you will do. You will lose. The guy, I can't even say that he's the best quarterback on his team. And there's teammates even questioning that. And I think that Dallas is not as good as advertised. And I think when Tony Romo starts to struggle, you may see John Kitna in there again, igniting the fire just like he did when Romo went down last year. So I would definitely stay very far away from Tony Romo personally.
You know, look, the guy's going to throw between, you know, 26 and 32 touchdowns, Rick. You could do a lot worse than that.
And I don't know how he's got great weapons also. You know, you can't deny that.
All right. That remains to be seen. They got rid of Roy Williams. Dez Bryant's still a question mark to me.
I think Roy Williams is addition by subtraction, so I don't see that as a negative at all.
Okay, well, we will see. We'll see what kind of depth the Cowboys have with their wide receiver. Sam Hurd also missing. Not a whole lot of bodies there, if you really think about it. Miles Austin and Dez Bryant, both injury-prone. I don't know who's going to step up when one of those step down. All right, Fantasy Football Insiders, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, breaking it down, quarterbacks. Went through Tier 1, Tier 2 guys. Now you start getting into that Tier 3, Tier 4 category where guys, like I mentioned them before, Eli Manning, guys like Jay Cutler kind of slide to those middle rounds. And sometimes I remember one year, Kurt Warner's first year in Arizona, I wound up taking him with one of my last picks because nobody wanted to take a flyer on the guy. We all know what kind of run they went on that season. There's always a guy, if you miss out on the Tier 1 guys, the cream of the crop, there's always a couple guys laying in the weeds in those Tier 3 quarterbacks. Started off with the Reverend, Ralph Mancini. Who do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to start off with Jay Cutler. A lot of question marks for Cutler. First of all, that offensive line. I mean, the guy got beat up last year. He got sacked more than any other starting quarterback in the league. And then you also have to question, does he have the right amount of weapons? I know Roy Williams is now part of the mix, but, you know, he's not the best route runner. I see him as being a red zone threat, but, you know, he's a guy that disappears a lot also. But in his defense, Jay Cutler has worked on his mechanics a lot, especially his footwork. So to me, he's not a guy that I would want to start every week, but he's definitely a top, a Tier 3 quarterback with some major upside. Eli Manning is another guy who's a Tier 3 quarterback to me. I know he put up great numbers last year. He also threw for a lot of interceptions. And now he's going to be dealing with the loss of his safety valve, Kevin Boss, and another guy, Steve Smith, another guy, that a tough receiver that goes across the middle that Eli liked throwing the ball to. So to me, I think he's going to take a little bit of a hit just because of that. Matthew Stafford, to me, is a Tier 3 quarterback. I know he's bulked up in the offseason, but, you know, you always have to wonder, is this guy durable enough? And now Detroit has a lot of injuries along that offensive line. You know, are they going to get their tackles ready and healthy for the start of the season? That's in question right now. And so if that offensive line cannot protect Matt Stafford, he's going to end up back on the injury report again. Joe Flacco is another Tier 3 quarterback, a guy that, quite frankly, I expected more out of at this point in his career. Last year, he was a guy that was still getting flustered when his first option wasn't open and now has to deal with the loss of Derek Mason and Todd Heap. To me, he's a little mechanical at times, but he does have a great arm. He does have great talent. And then finally, Sam Bradford, to me, is a Tier 3 quarterback. I think that this guy's got a tremendous future, but you have to look at the fact that he's going to be working with a brand-new offensive coordinator, and it's going to be a much more complex offense that he's going to be playing under with Josh McDaniels in the mix there. And also, he has a cast of thousands at wideout, a lot of young guys there at wide receiver, so things have to sort themselves out in St. Louis. But I do think that he's a solid Tier 3 quarterback.
Yeah, Bradford, 18 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, completed 60% of his passes. Pretty impressive for a first-year starter. Anybody that we're missing there, Ross, a couple guys I didn't hear mentioned, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, I happen to agree with the Reverend about Cutler, Flacco, and Eli, although for Eli, I don't see Boss, who had, what, 35 catches last year, as being that big of a loss. I think Travis Beckham could double that if they look for him. I think the big problem for Eli is the offensive line. It wasn't good last year, and now it's going to be inconsistent. William Beatty at left tackle, with all the ends coming off there in the NFC East, you know, Cole and Ware and Arapo, that's very frightening. It's very frightening to me. But the guy that wasn't mentioned here that I think's at the upper end of this tier three is Kevin Cobb. I mean, I really like the situation he's in, and I'm buying Kevin Cobb and Larry Fitzgerald this season. So those are my four guys.
Give me some numbers. Give me some projections. Look, rub that crystal ball, Rostradamus of yours, and give me some projections for Mr. Kevin Cobb.
Oh, boy. Well, I think he can throw between 25 and 32 touchdown passes. I think
whoa.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible. I know they're going to want to run the ball, but I'm not a big Beanie Wells guy, and we'll see if Ryan Williams can get it done there. Yeah, I think probably, you know, 3,400 yards, maybe 26 touchdowns.
Okay, wow. High expectations. Let me get another opinion, Rev, because, you know, I know Fitzgerald might be good for 10 touchdowns, but I don't know where these other 15 touchdowns are going to come from. Who's he throwing to, and what do you see for corn on the cob?
Well, I'll tell you something. I kind of like his receiving options. I like his tight end. He's got Tyreek Hill there now. But the thing that worries me the most about Kevin Cobb is his offensive line. I mean, if you were watching the game last night against the Raiders, there were a lot of breakdowns there, and I do not like those tackles, and I think that there are a lot of holes in that offensive line. I think Cobb is going to be on the run. And the thing about Cobb is that although he has talent and although he's very accurate, he still has some holes in his game.
He does.
Namely, the guy has trouble recognizing the blitz a lot of times. So, to me, I think that he can put up decent numbers, but I think he's going to be inconsistent. I can definitely see him throwing for about 25 touchdowns, maybe about, you know, 3,400, 3,500 yards, somewhere in that area. But I could also see him throwing for a lot of interceptions and getting sacked a lot also.
Yeah, I like the division he's in, Rev. I think that helps him a lot, and I think the system he's in helps him a lot. And, Rick, you're not a big Andre Roberts guy and early Doucette? I like those guys.
Well, a lot remains to be seen from those guys. You talk about, you know, Bolden's no longer there. They lost Breston. You know, they've taken some hits.
And, yeah, but now they have a quarterback.
You know, the offensive line, Faneca's no longer there. I don't know. There's only about 10 guys that threw 25 touchdowns last year. I'm not saying that Kevin Cobb is going to even approach a top 10 fantasy quarterback, but, you know, that remains to be seen. We will see if he is Matt Castle or Scott Mitchell, I guess. Speaking of Matt Castle, I noticed nobody mentioned him. 27 touchdowns, just 7 interceptions, over 3,000 yards passing. Didn't crack any of your guys tier three.
No. Go ahead, Rev.
Go ahead, Ross.
I was going to say, you know, if you want to have him at the bottom of tier three with guys like Sanchez and Orton, you can, but I had him as those three as leading the best of the rest.
And what about Sanchez, Ralph, since you're our residential Jets guru? You know, a lot has been made about him, you know, stepping into his third year starting. I thought his comments were pretty telling about, you know, his first year or two, he felt obligated to spread the ball around because they had such name brand players around him. You talk about Santonio Holmes, LaDainian Tomlinson, Braylon Edwards, Dustin Keller, Cotchery, Green, the list goes on and on. He said, you know, it's no more time to play favorites. I just got to throw it to whoever's open. I believe 17 touchdowns last year. Do you guys see him taking a step up? You talk about Kevin Cobb throwing 25 touchdowns. Can the Sanchez approach those numbers?
Well, I think he can approach those numbers. I think that maybe he's probably on the lower end of 25, maybe around 22, 23 touchdowns. But I do like the fact that he's taking more of a leadership role in training camp. You know, he's showing a lot of the guys. He's actually teaching a lot of the guys in camp right now, as opposed to being the guy that has to listen all the time. And, you know, look, we saw him play last year. He made strides in the playoffs. And, you know, one of the big problems that the Jets had last year was their red zone production. and enter Mr. Plexico Burris. And if he could stay healthy, I mean, not even for 16 games, or even if he could stay healthy for about 13, 14 games, that big presence alone should help out Mark Sanchez, who, let's face it, is not the most accurate quarterback out there. So I think Mark Sanchez is going to take a step up this year. Not maybe 25, but maybe around 22, 23 touchdowns. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, Rick, I think 25 is a bit much to ask. That's basically a 50% increase from the 17 he had last year. And, I mean, look, I might be in the minority, but I think they downgraded the receiving core with Burris and Mason replacing Cotchery and Edwards.
I agree. I think both are downgrades, but I do think Sanchez, another year older.
Yeah, well, the thing that I keep scratching my head about is everybody's crying about Braylon Edwards no longer being on the team. But, you know, prior to last year, Braylon Edwards is a guy that you couldn't count on. He's a guy from year to year. He's very inconsistent.
We're counting last year, Rev, where he had five touchdowns of 25 yards
or
greater.
But he was in a contract year, and he's a guy.
But he was making big plays. He was scoring 40-yard-plus touchdowns, and the Jets don't have a guy that can stretch the field like that now.
They do. Santonio Holmes. Watch, Santonio Holmes is going to play that role this year.
Help, though. Plaxico's already hurt. He's a downgrade from Braylon, and you don't know what you're going to get with the guy.
Let me ask you this. If Plaxico is a downgrade, if Plaxico is a downgrade from Braylon Edwards, do you think that Mason is a downgrade from Cotchery? Because if you think so, I strongly disagree.
I think Mason is a better player, but I think Cotchery knows the system, and I think that's important when you're talking about 24 practices instead of 36, no two-a-days, you know, a veteran core group. You had a guy in Cotchery who was a team player. Great.
Yeah, chopped a lot of passes last year, too, though.
I don't know. Cotchery dropped a lot of passes last year.
It wasn't the same player.
I don't think it's an upgrade, but we'll save it for the wide receiver talk. One more guy I want to throw out there, Ross, is Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, you know, he started 13 games last year and threw for 3,000 yards and 23 touchdowns. You know, we talked about at the top of the show Lee Evans getting dealt today, but Fitzpatrick, does he take a step up or back in 2011?
I think he takes a step to the side. I think he'll probably throw for around 3,000 yards and about 20, 21 touchdowns again. He's one of those guys who will accumulate stats on a bad team because they'll always be throwing the ball.
All right. Before we get to our quarterbacks to avoid, let me ask you, is there anybody else that we have not yet mentioned, maybe that you can grab in the middle or late rounds? Go ahead, Rev.
Yeah, Kyle Orton is a guy who it's kind of a risky pick because you don't know what direction the Broncos are going to go in. If they do well, they're probably going to stick with Orton. If they don't do so well, they're eventually going to go with Tim Tebow. But let's just say that they do well and they actually have a chance of making the playoffs at the end of the season. Kyle Orton is a guy who is smart, he's accurate, and a guy who's just gotten better each and every year. His yards per game and his quarterback rating have gone up consistently over the past 3 years. I realize that he's not very mobile, but the guy is tough. He shows good awareness, and he has a 59-35 touchdown to interception ratio. So to me, you know, Kyle Orton is a guy who is maybe not an every week starter, but a guy who's very solid. And from 1 week to another, he could always put up a 300-yard game and throw for three touchdowns. He's proven it. So
I agree, Rev. I think he's definitely draftable, and you throw him in there. If your quarterback has a bye week and a favorable offensive matchup for Denver, I think you could do a lot worse than him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good matchup guy. Anybody else for you, Ross?
No. I mean, I really don't think anyone else is really worthy of drafting. I don't want to deal with the David Garrards or the John Becks of the world.
Well, we failed to mention Donovan McNabb, so
yes,
did he make it to your quarterbacks to avoid list?
Oh, certainly. He's headlining that list. I mean, look, I don't understand how Minnesota is buying that. I mean, he's barely better than Tarvaris Jackson in my mind. And look, the guy is inaccurate. You know, it's not going to cure itself by moving to Minnesota. He might be a little bit better than he was last year, but he's not a top 20 fantasy football quarterback in my mind, and therefore he's not draftable.
Rev, is that a guy, is McNabb washed up, or do you think with the supporting cast he might be able to do some damage every now and again?
I'll tell you something.
He's just 2 seasons away. You know, in 2009, he had 22 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and 3,500 yards in 2009. Last year, you know, almost 3,400 yards, 14 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Are we going to see closer to what we saw last year or closer to what we saw in his last year in Philadelphia?
I think the only thing that helps out Donovan McNabb this year is the fact that he's going to be playing his home games indoors. But you take a look, and his wide receiver core is not that good. No Sidney Rice there. They picked up guys like Mike Jenkins. Bernard Berrien is still there. And so, you know, outside of Percy Harvin, he doesn't have many weapons to throw to. On top of that, he has a bad offensive line. McKinney, the left tackle, has just been released, and they replaced him with Charlie Johnson at left tackle. And believe me, that guy's no better roses either. And on top of that, Donovan McNabb's just not the same quarterback anymore. He's not the same scrambler he used to be. He's got bad mechanics. He's got poor accuracy. And to me, I think, and I said this before, what's going to end up happening is sometime around week 9, week 10, they're going to put in Christian Ponder. So in my opinion, if you pick up Donovan McNabb, even if you pick him up in, you know, let's say the 8th round or 12th round or 14th round, I think it's going to be a wasted pick.
Yeah, I mean, Rick, let's talk about it. You're in that division. You're going to go to war against the Packers defense, Sue and Fairley, and the Bears defense with a shaky offensive line, Donovan McNabb, Bernard Berrien, and Percy Harvin? You got to be kidding me. Bernard Berrien.
Yeah,
come on. Come on, man.
Mike Jenkins.
Come on, son. All right, well, you convinced the heck out of me. Ross, anybody else you got on your quarterbacks to avoid list?
Not necessarily avoid, but avoid drafting them too early. And those are guys we've already touched on in Cutler and Eli Manning. I'm worried about the Giants' offensive line this season. I think Eli might just be – he's outside the top 10, maybe even the top 15 as far as fantasy goes this year. And, you know, you can blame a lot of the interception on tip balls, but, you know, you want to get into minutia like that, that's fine. And Cutler, look, this isn't the Mike Martz offense that we thought we were going to see. You know, Chicago – was better when Martz reined in the offense and ran the ball a little more last year. So I don't expect them to deviate from that too much this year. And I mean, I don't know what they're doing with Johnny Knox, but to me that just means that someone there doesn't really have a good grasp of what's going on.
Huh. Well, Rev, what do you got for quarterbacks that you are going to avoid?
Well, Matt Castle is a guy that is draftable, but he probably won't be on my team. He plays on a run-based offense. He loses Charlie Weiss as his offensive coordinator.
Yep.
He's not a guy that goes through his progressions very well. He makes mistakes and the pocket breaks down around him. And on top of that, he faded down the stretch last year. In 3 of 4 December games, he was under 200 yards, not to mention his disastrous playoff performance in which he put up 70 yards and 3 interceptions. I just can't trust him. And then, obviously, you know, Tavares Jackson's a guy that I'm not going to touch with a 20-foot pole. And, you know, I don't want to bring up Chad Henne again. I'm sick of beating on that poor guy. But, again, he's not a guy that I'm going to draft either. So.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Charlie Weiss, Rev, because to me that moves Castle down the same way that getting McDaniels might move Bradford up a little bit. You can say what you want about him as a head coach, but McDaniels is pretty proven.
Well, you know, what I think McDaniels does is he's going to allow Bradford to throw the ball deep a little bit more, and Bradford does have a big arm. So, you know, I think we should see some more big plays in St. Louis.
Hey, Austin Pettis can run some routes.
Yes, he can.
Oh, hey now. I think there's a couple other guys that, you know, we should definitely avoid, and Matt Hasselbeck, Colt McCoy, the whole Carolina situation, Alex Smith in San Francisco, and, of course, the now infamous Andy Dalton, who threw an interception in his first career pass. No surprise there. So that about brings us to the conclusion of the quarterbacks. We're breaking it down for you in Dynasty Leagues. If you were watching last night, a guy by the name of Ryan Mallett shredding up the defenses there for New England. Boy, I don't know what their intentions are, if they're going to groom him to replace Brady or trade him off, but this guy is going to be a hot commodity Even Roddy White, your boy, Ross, getting in on the action, saying that that guy Blaine Gabbert will never be as good as Ryan Mallett.
I'll tell you, it's interesting. I saw the little Gabbert last night, and, you know, he wasn't great, but he didn't look like a deer in the headlights like I thought he might.
All right. Any rookies catch your eye last night, Rev, in the first preseason?
Oh, any rookies in particular?
Josh Portis creeping up in Seattle.
Josh Portis, you know, he's very raw. I'm not going to go crazy over Josh Portis. I saw him make some questionable throws. I think he's a guy you have to develop. I don't think he's anywhere near being a professional starting quarterback or even a second string quarterback at this point.
He does have some bloodlines in him, the cousin of Clinton Portis. If you want more,
I want to bring up something. I want to bring up another guy that impressed me, another rookie, was Stephen Ridley from the New England Patriots.
Well,
now,
we're actually that's a great segue into our next segment, Rev, because that's where we're going next, is the running back position. Let me just reset here and let folks know they are tuned in to the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show primetime Friday night here, August 12th. Just got through the quarterbacks. We're going to move on to the running backs. And, of course, we represent the NFL Draft Bible. Just talking about rookies, Stephen Ridley, a guy, Rev, very high on our radar coming out of LSU, showed what he can do, 67 yards rushing, another 40 or so receiving, 3 touchdowns on the night. Before we get into our tier rankings, I'll let you get back to what you were saying, but that New England committee there looks like they're going to have that ride the hot hand with the law firm, Ridley, Woodhead. They even drafted Vereen higher than Ridley, so what did you see? First impression from that Patriots running back committee?
Well, I do like Ridley a lot because of his power running. I saw one touchdown where it looked like they had him stopped at the goal line, but then he had a nice second effort to churn his legs and just power the ball into the end zone. The other thing that impressed me about him was his ability to catch the football as well. And then the other thing that Ridley does also is he's a good blocker as well. So to me, I mean, this guy might not be the most electrifying running back, but he does a little bit of everything. He's a very valuable back. So to me, I think that this guy's going to be used a lot this year.
And the Patriots are just finding players anywhere and everywhere. They even had the kid Maldron from Fayetteville running for about 40, 50 yards last night. So you can log on to the NFLDraftBible.com, and we actually have the top rookie performers from last night's action. Philip Tanner running for 44 yards in Dallas, Richard Murphy in Jacksonville, Jordan Todman getting some action in San Diego, and Ryan Williams kind of taking it easy in Arizona, just 4 carries for 21 yards. We'll talk about the rookies in a second, see if anybody cracks our rankings. You know, Mark Ingram, where does he fall in our tier categories? And you know, why don't we kick it off, Ross, with your Tier 1 running back category. And it's a little interesting this year with the whole Chris Johnson holdout and Frank Gore situation, Steven Jackson and MJD showing some wear and tear. So those Tier 1 rankings maybe not looking like years past.
Yeah, a little bit of a shake up here. You know, I got 5 guys up here and then a 6th who could bump up, but I'm a little concerned. I got Foster, I got Chris Johnson, I got Adrian Peterson, I got Jamal Charles, and I have Ray Rice as 5th, and I have Shady McCoy 6th. I'm a little concerned about his goal line carries getting taken away. New acquisition over there, Ronnie Brown. I'm a little concerned about that. Otherwise, he'd certainly be in Tier 1. But I'll tell you, man, I lucked out. Arian Foster, I have no reason not to put him first. I think Chris Johnson will be in camp probably by the end of the weekend, if there's any truth to them saying, look, we'll give you the most money of any running back if you just report to camp. I mean, to me, I think he should get on the Concorde or a rocket ship and get into camp if they're going to do that for him. And look, Adrian Peterson, he's going to be fed the ball a lot. The fumble issues are a thing of the past, apparently. And, you know, Rev, I know you're going to rave about Vontae Leach, and I will wholeheartedly agree. I think he's going to help Ray Rice an awful lot there. and he might hurt Foster a little bit, but Lawrence Vickers is certainly capable.
Some interesting selections there. Some names I did not hear, but before I chime in, let's turn it over to the Reverend and see who's in his Tier 1 category.
My Tier 1 category is not as big as Ross's. I only got four running backs here, and they all have one thing in common, and they're all fast guys. Arian Foster is my number one guy, big, versatile, downhill runner, but he also has breakaway speed, and not to mention he's an excellent cutback runner as well. Jamal Charles is number two. Burst, vision, makes tacklers miss, catches the ball well. Adrian Peterson, of course, he's number three, a violent runner who makes a lot of his yards by running through contact. And Chris Johnson is number four. You know, his numbers were down in 2010, but you know he's going to get the ball a lot. I think Hasselbeck stabilizes the offense for as long as he stays healthy. And let's face it, Chris Johnson is young, he's lightning fast, and he's injury-free. And he doesn't need great blocking to find a crease and take it to the house. So I'm going to go with Foster, Charles Peterson, and Chris Johnson.
I got to say, I'm very hesitant about Chris Johnson. A lot of wear and tear there. If you look at the past 2 years, you're talking about...
He hasn't really been injured, though.
Well, you're talking about 700 carries in the last two seasons, and his yards per carry last year was a career low. I think he's on the decline when you accumulate these type of hits in the NFL. We saw it when Jamal Lewis ran for 2,000 yards. That was about the end of him. He was done after that. If I was Tennessee, I would not be giving him. Running backs are replaceable. Look, this guy ran for 1,300 yards with a 4.3 average. That's not top five fantasy football material. He did have 11 touchdowns, but I'll be honest. Defenses are going to be nine deep stacking the box with Jake Locker or Matt Hasselbeck or whoever's back there. I'm very hesitant about Chris Johnson. I'm also very hesitant. Arian Foster won't be on my team just because if you look every year in college, this guy was injured. Even his first year or two in the NFL, he was injured. I just don't think this guy can make it through the season again injury-free. I'm not rolling the dice. I think it's a big gamble. I'd much rather have a guy like Jamal Charles, who, in my opinion, is the number one fantasy back. You talk about Thomas Jones, a guy that's wearing down. I think Jamal Charles is just going to see more carries, more touches, more yardage, and more touchdowns. You talk about a guy with upside, Jamal Charles is going to take me there. And, of course, I like Ray Rice always because of the PPR thing. this guy is like – another receiver on top of, you know, he puts up Thurman Thomas type yardage. So Ray Rice is definitely in the mix. And I think when it's all said and done, another guy that had 60 catches last year, Peyton Hillis, will be a top five fantasy football running back, in my opinion. Another guy who I like, maybe not just top five, probably leads off your top tier two, Ralph, is Rashard Mendenhall, who I think is in line for a big year.
I agree with that.
Yeah, Rick,
Who else you got?
Hold on a second. You can't tell me the teams are going to be stacked against Chris Johnson and then give me Peyton Hillis.
Well, I think
Come
it's
on
a different
now.
Style of running. Peyton Hillis
at
is
least,
a bruiser.
At least Chris Johnson has Kenny Britt on the outside. You know, I mean, I know that, you know, Greg Little's a promising rookie, but he hasn't shown anything yet in Cleveland. So, I mean, Ross has a point there.
Go ahead, tier
Probably
two.
Probably did it last year, no problem, right? Payne Hills did it last year, no problem, no?
Yeah, he did.
So did Chris Johnson.
Well, okay, let me give you my tier two, guys. I'm going to start off with LeSean McCoy. This guy's a dual threat. He catches practically every ball thrown his way. He's remarkably consistent, and he's tough. You know, let's remember how he played through a broken rib last year. Peyton Hillis is also a tier two guy, a goal line beast. And he's really the only one who's going to get the ball near the end zone on that team. He scored a touchdown in 10 of his first 11 games last year and is also a great pass catcher as well. Ray Rice comes after him, a shifty back who gained close to 1,800 yards from scrimmage last year, 58 receptions. You know, Baltimore did have some run blocking issues, but a lot of those concerns will be addressed with the addition of Vontae Leach at fullback. Rashard Mendenhall is also a tier two back. He's a true workhorse. Only one running back had more carries than Rashard Mendenhall last year, and that was Michael Turner with 324 totes. The only difference is Michael Turner is a beat-up 29-year-old, whereas Rashard Mendenhall is only 24. Mendenhall has a great schedule. He's quick, he's agile, and he's learned to run harder over the years. And then finally, at the end of my Tier 2, I'm going to keep going with Frank Gore. I'm going to go with him for another year. I mean, the concern with Gore is always his durability. Only once in his past six seasons has he played 16 games. But Harbaugh is committed to him, and he's not going to lighten his load. He's the ultimate three-down back. He runs through contact. He catches the ball. He's an exceptional pass protector. So even if he misses one or two games, I'm more than comfortable with going with Frank Gore as one of my Tier 2 running backs.
Yeah, Gore has missed 9 games in the last 3 years. First year since his rookie year, he didn't go over 1,000 yards, just 3 rushing touchdowns. But the guy is a dual threat. When he's healthy, there's no doubt about it. He's a premier fantasy football producer. One guy I didn't hear you mention was Darren McFadden, who's expected to have a bigger role. So I was going to toss it over to Ross Adamus and tell me what you see in his future.
Yeah, I know he's your boy, and I got to give it up. He did produce last year, and I think he's going to do it again this year. He had, 1,150 yards, something like that. He had 500 yards receiving. He's in my Tier 2, but leading off the Tier 2 is Peyton Hillis. Look, he's solid. He's going to get numbers. I just think he's a step below the other 5-6 guys that I mentioned. I like Frank Gore as well. Two guys, Rev, that you didn't have in there that I still have, but they're at the end of the Tier 2, are McFadden and Maurice Jones-Drew. Look, I'm a little concerned about the injury, but I still think the guy's going to produce at a Tier 2 level. He's just not going to be a top 4 or 5 guy like he has been in the past. And, of course, Mendenhall, I think, primed for a huge season with the Steelers. I like him. I think he's going to go a little underdrafted. He's not flashy.
I agree.
He's not flashy. He's not special. But at the end of the day, when you look up, he's scoring fantasy points.
So, one guy here, that did not crack either of your Tier 2, and that's Steven Jackson, 6 consecutive seasons of 1,000 yards or more. 1,241 last year, 6 touchdowns, 46 receptions. Neither one of you guys, and he played all 16 games, has missed
just one game in the last 2 years. Let me mention something else about Steven Jackson. I know he had those 6 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, but he also has had more than 550 carries over his past 2 years, and his yards per carry was also down to 3.8. That was the first time ever that he fell under 4.0 yards per carry. So to me, those are signs that he's a guy that's aging and a guy that's going to break down. I'm not saying that he's a bum, but to me, I'm just saying he's a Tier 3 back. I could see him slowing down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
let me ask. Go ahead.
I was going to say that there are 3 guys who are mainstays at the top of these lists who I have as Tier 3 guys, and Jackson is one of them, Michael Turner's another, and D'Angelo Williams is the third.
Well, what about a guy, that I wanted to throw out, since we're getting into the Tier 3, he didn't make any of your Tier 2, but, Cadillac Williams now out of the picture, LeGarrette Blount, got an opportunity and ran with it, literally, 1,000-yard rookie season, 6 touchdowns. Don't you see those touchdown numbers maybe doubling this year?
I could see that, and he's at the top of my Tier 3. But I don't think LeGarrette Blount is a complete running back yet. I know he averaged 5.0 yards per carry, and he is the true number one back for his team. But he's not really much of a pass catcher, and he's got to improve some things. He's not much of a pass blocker. And when I watched him run sometimes he ran hard, and then sometimes he used to stop his feet a lot too. So I think he can improve, but I definitely like him. And to me, he's more of a number 2 running back on a fantasy team, and to me, he's more of a Tier 3 guy. But I definitely think his potential is through the roof.
I agree, Rev, but, and I know he's getting a lot of reps in passing situations, but as bad as he is a receiver, he's even worse as a protector or a blocker.
Yes.
And he and Ahmad Bradshaw lead my Tier 3, and I think they're perfect number 2 guys. And I think the rest of the guys in Tier 3 will be overdrafted. But I think a guy like Blunt, you know, 1,000 yards, barely any receptions, I think he's liable to go underdrafted, and he'd make a nice number two back.
And I see double-digit touchdowns for LeGarrette Blunt, a la in the form of Lendale White that one season. Who else you got there, Ross, in your Tier 3? You mentioned some of these guys will be overdrafted. Please make that note.
Yeah, I think Williams, D'Angelo Williams, Turner, and Steven Jackson would be overdrafted. I think guys like a Matt Forte, I think a guy like Ahmad Bradshaw are going to be underdrafted. And another couple of guys, and I know that I'm going to get some laughs out of this one, but a healthy Jahvid Best is a nice Tier 3 guy for me. I think he's going to have a sneaky good season this year. You know, maybe fool me twice, shame on me, but I'm kind of willing to roll the dice with him, and I'm sure you'll remember that when our draft comes up.
Hey, you could have him, my friend.
I just like that offense and no LeSure. Come on.
I got two words for you, Jerome Harrison.
Oh, come on, man.
Hey,
he'll take some carries away, but I think that's a good thing for Best.
Maurice Morris also in the mix there. Go ahead, Rev. Hit us with
no,
the
tier three
guy.
No, the thing about Best is, you know, on top of his foot issues that he had last year, here's a guy, if you go back to when he was playing in college for the University of California, also had concussion issues as well. You know, it wasn't just once, it was a couple of times. So, to me, not only is he a slightly built running back, but he's a guy who's had concussion issues as well. So, he worries me a lot. They can't give him too much of a workload. You know, I'd be worried about that. But is he a tantalizing PPR option? Yes, he is. But I will not go out of my way to draft him. If he falls to me somewhere where I think it's reasonable, I will draft him. But I think he will be overdrafted this year.
Really?
We're talking running backs here. Before you unveil your Tier 3, since we're talking Jahvid Best, I want to go over to the chat room because we have a Jahvid Best question. Felix Jones or Jahvid Best in a PPR? I think I know where you lean, Ross. I'll start it off with the Reverend. Felix or Best, who do you like?
Oh, boy, that's tough. I'm not in love with either one of those guys. I think I'll go with Jahvid Best because Felix Jones is a guy that always seems to get hurt, always seems to pull a hamstring, and I don't like the fact that he put on weight last year and he wasn't the same player that he was in past years. I just don't trust Felix Jones. I'd rather roll the dice on a guy like Jahvid Best, who's a little bit younger and has a little bit more upside, in my opinion.
Yeah, we've been waiting. We've been holding our breath for 3 years already. This is Felix Jones' fourth year. Now you got DeMarco Murray in the mix, Lonnie Miller. Ross, I think I know where you lean, but why don't you take it away? Felix Jones or Jahvid Best, is it a clean sweep for Best?
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, I'm tired of Felix Jones, and I was happy that I said that last year. It's enough already. This is the fourth year. I mean, at what point do you become not ready to bust out, but mediocre or a second-string guy behind DeMarco Murray? Come on. He's done. I don't like it.
All right. Ralph, carry on with your Tier 3 running backs.
Okay, so after LeGarrette Blount, I'll go with Ahmad Bradshaw. To me, he's right up there with Adrian Peterson as the most physical back in the league. His biggest flaw is ball security. He fumbled the ball 7 times last year. And if he fumbles the ball too much, that's going to get you benched. And that's the only thing that worries me about Ahmad Bradshaw. Matt Forte is also a Tier 3 guy. Had a bounce back year in 2010. Averaged 4.5 yards per carry. Patient runner. Does most of his damage between the tackles. And Darren McFadden is a Tier 3 guy. And I know he hit his stride last year. And he's got tremendous burst and ability to turn the corner. Great speed and everything. But the thing that worries me about him is he's never been healthy for more than 13 games in any of his seasons in the NFL. And I don't think he's built like the classic running back. To me, he's a tall guy and he's got skinny legs. And that always worries me. I just don't know if he's durable. If he gives me 15 games, I'm not even asking for 16 games. If he gives me 15 games this year, then I'll buy into D-Mac. But I'm not buying into him yet. And then Steven Jackson, we talked about him. He's part of my Tier 3. Michael Turner, 29 years old. He's logged over 300 carries in two of his last three seasons. I could see him slowing out a little bit. And then finally, MJD, Maurice Jones-Drew, he's got that bone-on-bone issue, and he's going to be sharing the load with Mr. Rashad Jennings.
Well, one guy you both failed to mention thus far, some people actually have him in as a top 10 fantasy football running back, believe it or not. Sean Green, I'll start it off with you, Rev, since you're the residential Jets guru again. What kind of numbers do you see for Mr. Sean Green?
Sean Green, I can't trust Sean Green. To me, he's a boom or bust guy. He could be either a top 10 guy, but he's a guy that gets hurt a lot. He can't catch the ball. I won't take him in the first three rounds. And last year, he couldn't beat out LaDainian Tomlinson. Is he capable of having, you know, two or three great games? Yes, he is. Is he capable of giving you 16 games like that? I don't know. I have my doubts. I think there's a reason why the Jets drafted Bilal Powell, and I don't think they have a lot of faith in Sean Green, despite what they say.
And they used
so
the third-round pick on McKnight.
Yes, they did. So, to me, I can't trust Sean Green. I can't.
I mean,
all right, well, go ahead, Ross.
Let's be honest here. I mean, the Jets are talking a lot of smack. They're saying they want to get him 300 touches. Are you kidding me? I mean, the guy didn't even have 200 last year, and he didn't look fresh to me, missed a game. And look, let's be honest. Until we see it, there's no reason to believe it, that he's going to even approach 300 touches. For me, he's going to increase a little bit. I'll give him maybe 1,000 yards and 5 or 6 touchdowns.
All right, there you have it. A couple other guys we have not yet mentioned. Let's see. You know, we're talking running backs here. We broke it down tier 1, tier 2, and 3. Let's talk tier 4 and beyond, Ross, and some players to keep an eye on. Who do you got for us?
Yeah, in tier 4, I have guys like Ryan Matthews, Joseph Addai, Noshon Marino, Fast Freddie Jackson, and Sean Green. You know, an interesting guy for me here is another guy in tier 4, and that's Ryan Grant. You can't really measure what he must be feeling. You know, he got his ring, but he didn't really participate in the Super Bowl last year, and I think that's going to make him a pretty hungry guy. I know they got our guy James Starks up there, and they have guys who can share the burden with him, but I'm pretty interested to see what Ryan Grant has, and I'd be very happy having him on my team as a third running back. You know, and then you got guys at the bottom of that tier like Felix Jones and Reggie Bush for my money, and even rookie Daniel Thomas and Ryan Williams I think could do something, because I don't think I'm alone here. I'm not buying Beanie Wells for one second.
I'm with you on that one. How about you, Rev? Still a few players I have yet to hear.
Yeah.
Who's in your tier 4 and beyond group category? Maybe some guys that can play the flex position.
Yeah, I have a few mid-round gems here. I want to start off with Mark Ingram, the rookie. He's already getting a lot of first-team work. This kid runs hard with vision and patience. To me, he's the best back the Saints have had since Deuce McAllister. He breaks tackles. I think this guy could potentially be a top 15 back this year. Fred Jackson is another guy I like. He's on an improving offense with some real weapons at wide receiver. He is Buffalo's goal line back. And he gets the most out of his carries. So to me, he's still top dog on his team as far as running backs go. D'Angelo Williams is a guy that I've always liked, and I'm going to include him in this group. You know, Carolina is probably going to lead the league in rushing attempts. You know, let's face it, they don't have much at quarterback right now. And I think they're going to play a conservative. And, you know, they gave D'Angelo Williams 5 years for $43 million.
Ridiculous.
And so they gave him that money for a reason. I don't think it's to stand on the sideline and look pretty. So to me, D'Angelo Williams, he's a powerful back. He can start and stop at a dime. Very exciting to watch. And, you know, Ross mentioned a guy, Ryan Matthews. And to me, I think I don't trust Ryan Matthews, and I'll get into that later. The guy that I like a little bit better is Mike Tolbert, actually. I know that San Diego wants Ryan Matthews to be the man, but the kid gets hurt. He failed his conditioning test this summer. He fumbles the ball a lot. Whereas Tolbert is a guy that, you know, he showed last year that he can carry the load if necessary. He had 3 100-yard games and 11 touchdowns last year, and he will be the goal line back. And then finally, the other guy that I have here is Jonathan Stewart, another physical back. He can grind out the tough yards. He can be elusive and gain yards in the perimeter. And I think what really helps Jonathan Stewart here is that D'Angelo Williams is coming back, so they're going to split the carry. So I'm not really that worried about Jonathan Stewart getting hurt because I don't think they're going to overuse him. And then finally, one guy I want to mention, he's more of a scat back, and that's Darren Sproles. To me, I think he's like the ultimate flex back. I think he's much better than Reggie Bush. He's much more durable than Reggie Bush. He gains more yards per carry. He averages more yards per reception than Reggie Bush. And I think that the Saints will utilize him very well. I think Breeze will go to him early and often, and he will be a great fit in that offense.
I'm with you on Sproles, Rev, but to me, Sproles and Thomas kind of hurt Ingram. I mean, I just think it's running back by committee there. I think there's not going to be enough touches to make any of them that valuable.
I think Thomas is the guy who's going to take the back seat.
Well, also,
I don't think they're
going to
run Ingram into the ground.
Yeah, I don't know if the PT Cruiser is 100% healthy to start the season. And don't forget Chris Ivory's still on the roster as well.
True. I think they're going to spread the wealth too much in New Orleans.
They do spread the ball around.
No, Chris Ivory is strictly a guy who's only going to get about 3 or 4 carries because he's a guy that gets hurt.
He
gets hurt a lot, you know.
I hear you. He's still there. You know, a couple guys we haven't hit on that should be mentioned. I think the one guy that I'm going to roll the dice on and gamble, and I play in a couple leagues with these guys, so I hate to reveal my sleeve, but I'm the people's champion, baby. I got to tell you how to win. And that's going to be grabbing a guy like Marshawn Lynch and, like, very late in your draft, I think. I like the beast mode. I'm all on board. I'm all about it. I'm willing to give it a shot. I like what I saw towards the end of the season. I think the team is going to lean on beast mode. So Marshawn Lynch is one guy that should be on your radar. If you're really feeling like a gambling man, you could really go for the jackpot and C.J. Spiller, especially if your league counts long touchdowns. I have to believe they're going to find a way to use that guy. Also, Tim Hightower has been anointed the number one running back in Washington. Evan Royster heading for the practice squad. Roy Helu is in the mix, and Ryan Terrain already hurt. But, you know, to start the year, Hightower will be the guy. He catches a lot of passes. He's in the Mike Shanahan system, so you definitely have to be aware of that. The next guy I'm not a big fan of at all. In fact, I can't stand him, although I might draft him just because his stock is so low, and I think he's in line for more carries, and I think he's in line for more touchdowns, and that's going to be Brandon Jacobs. Listen, say what you want. We debated about him on the last show. I went back and checked the numbers. The guy averaged 5.5 yards a carry. I think Bradshaw started to break down last year, and Jacobs will get more carries, more touchdowns. So for touchdown leagues, I think Brandon Jacobs should also be on your radar. A couple other quick hitters, you know, maybe not top tier 3 or 4, but Joseph Addai and Danny Woodhead are right there knocking on the door. Say what you want. Keep an eye on that Patriot committee. If there's an injury or two, Woodhead will step in and contribute. You saw it last year. Addai, we know what he's capable of doing. And, you know, I told you I'm not going to draft Arian Foster. One guy I am going to draft is Derek Ward. And I don't care if I take my last pick. I'm going to stash Derek Ward on the bench because not if, but when Arian Foster gets hurt, Derek Ward is going to be the guy that gets the carries, not Ben Tate. And then also, you know, you talk about PPR leagues. Should Adrian Peterson finally get injured, we talk about his violent running style. Toby Gerhart is the next in line. Immediately run to your waiver wire and pick him up if Adrian Peterson should go down to injury. This is Fantasy Football Insiders Prime Time. Rick Saratella, Russ Mandel, Ralph Mancini breaking it down. We just went through quarterbacks and running backs. We are now going to move on to I'm sorry, before we get to wide receivers, I wanted to ask you guys, since Mark Ingram did not crack any of your top tier fours.
I mentioned him. He's in my tier four.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about rookies real quickly before we move on to wide receivers. Aside from Ingram, Ralph, any other rookies on your radar?
Yeah, well, Ross already mentioned Ryan Williams. Obviously, I think he's better than Beanie Wells. He's not only shifty and elusive, but the thing about Williams is he's a tough guy. He lowers his shoulder, and he plows ahead when he needs to. DeLon Carter is another rookie that I like a lot. He's the back that Indianapolis has been looking for. He's tough. He runs low to the ground. He bangs heads at the opposition, and I think that he will score touchdowns. Steven Ridley, I mentioned him before. We saw him last night, a great second-effort runner. He's got good hands. And then finally, another guy that I do like is Bilal Powell. He's a tough north-south runner. He hits his cutback lanes, and he's got great hands out of the backfield, which makes him, I think, a better running back than Sean Green.
Interesting.
Ross, any rookies to keep an eye on?
Yeah, we touched on him, and you mentioned Roy Helua on Washington. And look, I mean, Terrain's already hurt. I don't know you could count on him. And I've seen enough of Tim Hightower to know that he's a second fiddle. And I think Helua's the kind of exciting guy that they need in that system up there. And I think he's going to get a lot of run this year. Another guy, Daniel Thomas in Miami, another guy who's going to see a lot of the ball for me, along with Ryan Williams in Arizona. You know, I find it very interesting. And, you know, I don't want to leave him out because I think he'll probably, and Rev and I talked about this, end up getting more touches than the feature back there now. And that's Willis McGahee in Denver. I think he's going to end up being the fantasy choice in Denver over Noshon Marino. And you could probably snag him really late. But I think it's interesting.
I saw from that game last night, that 1-2 punch they had with Marino and McGahee brought him right down to the goal line.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty
and they're playing against
drive.
The big, bad bully defense, too, huh? Let me just mention one guy that we haven't mentioned, and that's Cedric Benson. Let's talk.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't touch him this year.
I wouldn't either, and it's too bad that Bernard Scott can't stay healthy because I think this would be a perfect time for him.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Benson either. I know he had 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns last year, but... You know, just quickly, a couple of rookies on my radar. You know, when you look at the rookies, you got to try to find guys that are in good situations, like a Daniel Thomas, who also, by the way, ran the Wildcat over at Kansas State. He was actually a high school quarterback, so keep an eye on that. But you want to find a good situation or a guy who's an injury or two away, like a Roy Helu. I'm going to give you two interesting names. The first one is Alex Green from the University of Hawaii, drafted by the Packers. You know, you got James Starks and Ryan Grant, two running backs that have been injured the last couple seasons. So Alex Green, a guy that could be an injury away from starting. And the other guy, you know, you talked about you're not buying Darren McFadden, and his backup, Michael Bush, is also a guy who seems to always be hurt. Well, what about Tywan Jones, the speedster that they grabbed in the mid-round? Well, you know, he could step in and be a fantasy football contributor. I'm not telling you week in and week out. But, you know, again, you want to try to find guys that are like an injury away. Real quickly, you know, running backs to avoid. I think Cedric Benson is all on our list there. Anybody else that you're going to avoid quickly, Ralph?
I think we mentioned most of the guys. Noshon Moreno is a guy that I don't like. I don't think he runs hard. I like McGahee better. I wouldn't go near Tim Hightower, a guy who fumbles the ball all the time. I'm not a big fan of Felix Jones. And you know something? You might talk about the Wildcat, but I'm not buying it on Daniel Thomas yet. To me, I watched this guy play in college. He runs kind of tall. I think this guy is going to get hurt at some point. And he's also a guy that fumbled the ball a lot in college as well, and he's with a crappy team. So I don't know. I'm not too high on Daniel Thomas, at least not this year in his rookie season.
Ross, running backs you're going to avoid.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on him. And again, it's not necessarily avoid. It's avoid where they're going to be taken. Guy like Michael Turner. Again, Noshon Marino and Beanie Wells I'm staying away from. I think Mark Ingram's going to be overrated. I think he's going to be sharing time. And a guy like Ryan Terrain is hurt. I like Helu better. I think Hightower's, you know, going to get more touches. I would stay away from him completely. So those are four guys I'd shy away from.
All right. Well, I would stay away from LaDainian Tomlinson. He looked like a shot defeated man towards the end of the year. And also, I think it's safe to say, I mean, I said this about Darren McFadden last year, but I think it's safe to say we can all cross Donald Brown off of our fantasy football rankings cheat sheet.
Poor Donald.
One last one I'm going to throw out there. Freddie Jackson, nobody mentioned. Where do you
guys we both mentioned him.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay. Okay, my bananas. Let's move it on to wide receivers. Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, the Fantasy Football Insiders in Primetime. Definitely appreciate all the support in the chat room saying what's up to Aces Up, the Joker, Experto, Lockdown, Snake Eyes, Taz in the house. Always good to see our man Taz and the Fantasy Exchange. That must be our good friend Joe Everett. By the way, you can follow Joe Everett at Rookie Draft on Twitter. It's Fantasy Taz is at Fantasy Taz. Myself is at Rick Saratella. Ross is at Rostradamus NFL. You may have to look up the spelling for that one. And the Reverend Ralph, all on Twitter. Of course, the Motherland NFL Draft Bible is the handle of the motherlode. And we're working through the horse throat because it's football fever. It's the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show. You know how we do it. 2 hours commercial free. Can't stop, won't stop. Quarterbacks and running backs in the books, baby. Wide receivers next on the docket. If you're joining us lately, you can click back on the link and download our show. Get it to your smartphone, your MP3 player, whatever the latest technology gadget is going on. But let's talk some wide receivers. Let's do something a little different, fellas. We've been starting with the Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3, et cetera. Before we get into all that, let's do something a little bit different with the wide receivers because, you know, every year we always talk about the third-year wideouts, year three wide receivers, you know, the trends. You know, I don't know if it still holds true, but, you know, that was the old theory that year three is always the year the receiver really kind of matures and comes into his own. So now that we've had a couple years to evaluate the 2009 NFL draft, players going into their third year at the wideout position. Started off with you, Ralph. Who are some bust-out players, and who are some guys we can officially call duds amongst the third-year wide receivers?
Well, you know, as you mentioned, you know, for some guys it doesn't take 3 years. So I'm going to leave guys like Hakeem Nicks and Mike Wallace out because they've already emerged. But as far as bust-out guys go, I'm going to start off with Percy Harvin. Here's a guy that has only missed 3 games in his career despite the migraine issues. He could score from anywhere on the field. He's strong. He's fast. And I know for a fact that this year they're not only going to play him in the slot, but they're going to move him around a lot. And so I think that you're going to see 1,000 yards from Mr. Percy Harvin and lots of touchdowns. Another guy that was off to a pretty nice start last year, if he stays healthy, I think we'll put up better numbers, is Lewis Murphy. Again, was banged up, but he's a long, tall, elusive guy. He's got some deep speed. He could play in the slot or on the outside. I've always liked him since his days at the University of Florida. Austin Colley, you know, here's a guy that was on pace for 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns before his first concussion, followed by a second concussion, and it just goes on and on for the poor guy. If he finds a way of staying on the field, I think that this guy could gain 1,000 yards. He's got great chemistry with Peyton Manning. And Mike Thomas is a guy, an interesting guy as well. He's the number one target in Jacksonville. Last year was the 29th most targeted wide receiver in the league, and he's also a punt return threat, so he's a guy who's only getting better. And then finally, as a deep sleeper, Jarrett Dillard from Jacksonville, a guy that I always liked, acrobatic guy, a good leaper. He scored over 60 touchdowns at Rice. He's quick off the line. But the guy, he might not be big enough for the NFL, but if he finds a way of staying healthy, I think the guy's going to make some plays this year.
All right, there you have it from the good Reverend Ralph Mancini. Let's toss it over to Ross Stradamus, Ross Mandel, for his third-year analysis, wideouts, bustouts, and duds. Ross?
Yeah, you know, first, there's some guys who are, to me, at a professional crossroads in their third year now, and one of them's probably already a bust, but he's going to get every opportunity. First two guys, Kenny Britt and Michael Crabtree. You know, great things from Britt when he has his head screwed on straight, but that's not often. New quarterback situation. I think this is his year to put up or shut up. And Michael Crabtree in San Francisco, you know, we expected an explosion from this guy, and he's been average at best. And, of course, the third guy is Darius Heyward-Bey. You know, he hasn't really done much, and this is his third year. I think if he doesn't do it this year, he's written off, if not written off already. But the two guys that are going to come out that I like, and Rev already mentioned Mike Thomas, and especially if you're in a league that counts return yardage, because he is going to return punts, which is sort of insane if you think about it. But while it lasts, it'll be a fantasy bonanza because he'll add on some yardage there. But a guy I like down in Tampa, maturing quarterback, and that's Sammy Stroder. I think he's going to bust out this year.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a solid number two guy to Mike Williams in a very interesting Tampa Bay offense all of a sudden. So Thomas and Stroder are the two guys I think they're going to come out of nowhere. I'm not as high on Lewis Murphy or the Tyquan Underwoods or the Kevin Ogletrees of the world. And they're guys like Muhammad Massaquoi and Rubisky in Cleveland who are just garbage. And, you know, interesting guys with question marks third year, Jeremy Maclin, what's wrong with him, and Johnny Knox, you know, demoted because of the acquisition of Roy Williams. So I think those are two other guys who have some question marks around them. But I like Sammy Stroder and Mike Thomas.
Yeah, definitely some interesting names. Stroder, well, you know, with the really is Ben, he's all dinged up.
Yeah,
Stroder,
I'm not a fan.
Could be the number two.
He's going to be hurt all the time.
This just in, breaking news, Rex Grossman tonight, Sexy Rexy, the man who predicted the Redskins will win the NFC East, keeping the Redskins alive at halftime, 7-7 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sexy Rexy, 19 for 26, 207 yards and a touchdown in the first half against the Steelers. Hightower, 10 carries for 44 yards rushing. Santana Moss with a touchdown on the night. And speaking of wide receivers, Jabbar Gaffney, kind of forgotten free agent signing, probably going to be the number two in Washington. And we'll talk about some of these guys in a second. But, you know, there was some interesting debate on television talk today. Chris Carter really laying the hammer down on Calvin Johnson and just not including him in the elite category at all amongst wide receivers in the NFL. Of course, we're going to talk about fantasy football purposes, but, you know, let's have it with your Tier 1 wideouts, Ross, and a lot of shifting and movement here as well this year amongst the wideouts. Who is the cream of the crop, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Calvin Johnson last year with shaky quarterbacks, 1,100 yards and 12 touchdowns. I mean, Chris Carter, come on, man. You know, the Tier 1 guys I have, and it's a pretty lengthy list because I think any of these guys could be the best of the season. Look, you know I'm the Andre Johnson bandwagon driver for years, so he's up there. My man Roddy White. Hakeem Nicks, I have him as the third guy. I think Larry Fitzgerald has a big season. I think Vincent Jackson has a monster season. And the two guys at the end of the first tier for me are Calvin Johnson and the 60-minute man, Mike Wallace in Pittsburgh. Nothing not to love about him.
Wow, it's hard to argue with those selections. Hakeem Nicks, some people might be surprised that you have him that high. I actually tend to agree with you there, believe it or not. Let's toss it over to the Reverend and see who made his Tier 1 wideouts. Ross had quite a few, actually 7 wide receivers making his Tier 1, Ralph.
Yeah, I only have 5, and last year I was the biggest Hakeem Nicks fan, but I'm not ready to put him in the first tier yet. I'm going to go number one with Andre Johnson. Andre the Giant puts up big numbers every week, doesn't give you any attitude. He runs every route, size, speed, hard worker. Larry Fitzgerald is my number two guy. You take a look at his numbers last year, 90 catches for over 1,100 yards, and he did that with Max Hall and Derek Anderson at quarterback.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. So maybe the hardest – he's like maybe the hardest guy to cover along with having probably the softest hands in the league. Calvin Johnson is my number three guy. He gets it done with every quarterback that he plays with. He's having the best training camp of his career, by the way. I don't know why Chris Carter didn't mention that. The guy is twisting, turning. Yeah, and he's twisting, turning, making all kinds of catches on high passes, low passes. The guy's just been phenomenal this summer. Roddy White's my number four guy. He's all about consistency. Four straight seasons of 80 receptions and 1,000 yards. Two straight years of double-digit touchdowns. The guy is physical. He's quick. And then my number five guy is Miles Austin. I think he has a bounce-back season. You know, I know that he only had 69 catches last year, but, you know, Tony Romo went down in week six, and he went through a coaching change as well. That team was going nowhere, a lot of dissension there. But I think Miles Austin is a great route runner, tremendous after the catch. He's only 27 years old. He's much more polished than Dez Bryant. So I think that Miles Austin is still the number one guy on his team, and I think he's primed for a big bounce-back year.
Yeah, 18 touchdowns in the past two seasons for Miles Austin. Interestingly enough, one guy who has been a staple atop the fantasy football wide receiver mm-hmm. rankings.
Reggie Wayne?
Neither of you list Reggie Wayne as a tier
He's
one wide receiver.
He's at the top
receiver.
Of my second tier.
Yeah,
all right,
I got him.
So the days of a tier one wide receiver are now over for Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, I got him, Austin, and Greg Jennings at the top of my tier two, along with Welker, DeSean Jackson, and Brandon Marshall at the very end of tier two, just because of his quarterback situation.
Okay, so tier two is actually a little bit shorter for you, Ross, than your tier one.
Yeah, the tier, you know, I tend to separate the elite guys, and then the rest of the guys I can move around a little bit. But I see those seven top guys as, you know, it wouldn't shock me if any of them led the fantasy receivers this season, and it would if any of the tier two guys did.
Hard to disagree. I mean, listen, you know, Ralph didn't have Mike Wallace, DeSean Jackson, or Hakeem Nicks in his tier one, but
I don't have
you know, all
in tier one.
All three of those guys are on the upside, and I like them. I like them a lot. Who do you have in your tier two, Ralph?
Yeah, I'm going to start with Reggie Wayne. I mean, the guy is durable. He's consistent. He caught 111 passes for over 1,300 yards last year, but the touchdowns were down. But I do think they're going to move him around a lot this year. The guy could play in the slot, could play in the right, on the left. I think he still will have another great season. Vincent Jackson's in my tier two as well. He's in a contract year. He's a matchup nightmare. And, you know, you saw last night the chemistry he has with Phillip Rivers. I mean, this guy's going to be making plays all season long. DeSean Jackson's up there also. Great in performance leagues where, you know, they actually count whether or not you score a 30-yard touchdown as opposed to a 50-yard touchdown. The guy averaged 22.5 yards per catch last year, leading all receivers in that department. And, by the way, he is playing for a contract as well. Hakeem Nicks is in my tier two. And, look, I love Hakeem Nicks, and I think talent-wise he's right up there with the tier one guys. The one thing that worries me about Nicks is he's missed five games in his 2 years as a pro. The guy, I know he's worked hard. He's put on some muscle in the offseason, but I watched the guy play, and he's a guy that's susceptible to hamstring issues, to pulled muscles, and he gets me kind of nervous sometimes because, you know, from one quarter to the next, I don't know if he's going to make it or not. I think the guy's a little bit injury prone. Santonio Holmes makes my tier two.
Wow.
What I like about Santonio Holmes this year is he's going to play all three wide receiver positions. I think you're going to see him go deep more without Braylon Edwards there. Mike Williams is a tier two guy. Soft hands. He adjusts the throws. He's a quarterback's best friend. He works his way back to the ball. Mike Wallace is a tier two guy as well. 21 yards per reception. He trailed only DeSean Jackson in that department. Big play guy. Dwayne Bowe is also a tier two guy. I know a lot of people are a little down on him, but the guy can score 15 touchdowns. He scored 15 touchdowns, and last year he was off to a slow start, by the way. In his first five games, He only had 9 catches and 1 touchdown. So he scored those 15 touchdowns basically over the span of about 11 games. That's
75.
Yeah, only Arian Foster had more touchdowns last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think Mwaki and Baldwin and there's no way he can keep up 15 scores and 75 catches. I think he's in for a little bit of a
score. I think he's good for at least 12.
Mm. What's Mwaki and Baldwin doing, though? Come on.
They're going to get targeted.
Baldwin's raw, man. It's not his year, man.
Well, I think we have a new president of the Rodney Dangerfield I Can't Get No Respect Club, and, you know, I don't know what else the guy has to do. He had 1,500 yards receiving, 11 touchdowns, and nobody's yet to mention Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah, I respect what he did, but I don't think he's going to do it again, and I think he's going to be overdrafted.
So it was
a fluke year. I think, 77 for 1448, I just don't see it happening. I don't see
him.
Go ahead.
Let me give you 2 concerns with Brandon Lloyd. Number one, is Kyle Orton going to be his quarterback all season long?
Right.
I don't know that, so it's a little risky going with Brandon Lloyd and expecting the same types of numbers. The other thing that concerns me about Brandon Lloyd is they have a new coach in town, John
Fox.
Who doesn't
pass.
And you know what he likes to do, right? He likes to run the ball.
Yes.
So those are 2 things that concern me.
And he's 30. Not that he's old, but, you know, I just see it as a flukish season.
Well, he's a young 30. He's a young 30. It's not like he has a lot of wear and tear. The guy, you know, let's be honest, before last season, it's not like he was doing a whole heck of a lot of playing. He played literally 21 games in the previous 3 years. So,
the coaching change kills him, man.
Okay. Well, it's,
I mean,
still
not
be
that
Kyle
he's useless.
Orton,
I have him at the
guy.
End of tier 3.
I hear you. Well, let's get into that tier 3, since we knocked out tier 1 and tier 2 out of the ballpark. Let's go for a grand slam. What do you got for me?
Well, I got 2 guys that one's been mentioned in the chat room a lot, and the other one Rev had in his tier 1 leading my tier 3, and that's Dez Bryant and Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Really like him a lot. We mentioned Lloyd with the fantastic year last year. I think he takes a bit of a step back. And the guys I have at the end of this list, look, you could do a lot worse for a number 2. Stevie Johnson, Santonio Holmes, Rev's boy, Kenny Britt, and, you know, assuming that he gets healthy and plays at least 14 games, Jeremy Maclin. Because the guy's dangerous, man. It's just,
I don't know,
you know
about that whole illness. That remains to be seen with
Maclin.
I'm not going to
touch Maclin. I'm not even going to touch him.
I'm assuming that by the time we draft, we'll know what's wrong with him. And obviously, if he's not good to go, you don't draft him.
All right. What about a guy? I don't know if you mentioned him. I didn't hear Colston. Maybe I heard Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, I mentioned Marshall. I have Colston at the top of tier 4. I'm not that high on him.
Wow. Really? Okay. How about a guy like Anquan Boldin? Is he a tier 3 or tier 4?
He's a tier 3 for me.
I have him at the top of tier 4 with Sidney Wright.
You know, I'm surprised on Colston because, you know, he gets 1,000 yards. He gets 7-9 touchdowns a year.
You know, the thing about Colston, I actually have him in my 3rd tier, but I have my doubts about Marquise Colston. The guy, if you've been paying attention, he's been having his knee drained during training camp, and that's never a good sign. You know, once you get your knee drained, that becomes a chronic thing, and he's probably going to have it drained like 2 or 3 or 4 more times during the season. He's been missing practices. And then the other thing you have to take into account with Marquise Colston is the emergence of Jimmy Graham. You know, I think that Jimmy Graham is going to take away some of his shine as one of the red zone threats there in New Orleans.
Yeah, the thing that stands out to me is that he took like a 20% drop in his average per catch last year. You know, he had more catches in 2010 than 2009, but fewer yards. And, you know, look, that may be a bit of a fluke, but it concerns me, especially with the wealth of talent and options that Drew Brees has. And as Rev mentioned, you know, superstar Jimmy Graham's going to get a lot of run this year, I believe.
Well, one guy who's definitely falls in my tier three. Mario Manningham, I don't know how you guys omitted him.
I have him right there.
I have him at the top of tier four, but I'm not, you know, I'm just not that confident in him.
All right, so where did we leave off? Rev, I think you hit
Rev's tier three.
Tier three.
Yeah, it's my turn for tier three. I'm going to start off with Greg Jennings. Look, this guy is a superstar. He's a great player. I think he'll be a Hall of Famer one of these days. But what really hurts Greg Jennings is the return of JaMychal Finley. And, you know, the Green Bay Packers have a lot of options to throw to. So he's going to go through some stretches where he's not going to put up big numbers. So on a game-to-game basis, I don't know how reliable Greg Jennings is going to be despite his wealth of talent. Marquise Colston is a Tier 3 guy. Brandon Lloyd is a Tier 3 guy. I talked about him before. Stevie Johnson, to me, is a Tier 3 guy. Look, the Buffalo Bills are going to throw it around a lot, and they're going to move Stevie Johnson around a lot. You know, a lot of people don't like the fact that Lee Evans was traded. They're saying that, oh, well, you know, Lee Evans took away a lot of the coverage from Stevie Johnson. But I think Chan Gailey is smart enough to move Stevie Johnson around, you know, keep him in motion and to get him open. He's going to allow him to get open. I think Stevie Johnson is going to have another good year.
I agree.
Yeah, Anquan Boldin is a guy that I like. Lee Evans is going to help him. He's going to free things up for him. Wes Welker is a Tier 3 guy, a PPR catch machine. Dez Bryant is a Tier 3 guy. Look, the guy is still raw, but he's got great hands, great leaping ability, a very competitive guy. And then finally, I did mention Percy Harvin before. He's a Tier 3 guy. And then finally, Sidney Rice to me. Actually, I would make Sidney Rice a Tier 2 or Tier 1 guy if he had a good quarterback throwing to him. But, you know, Tavares Jackson just ruins everything. And then finally, Mario Manningham, to me, is a Tier 3 guy as well.
Yeah. And, yeah, Russ, are we on Tier 3 or Tier 4 with you?
Tier 4.
Okay, so I'm surprised your boy Ocho Cinco didn't even make your top three tiers.
I wanted to put him up there, but I got to see it first. Him and Amendola and Manningham are at the top of tier four. And sadly,
right,
a guy who I love who has tier one talent, but as Rev mentioned, you know, he might as well have me throwing him the ball in Seattle, and that's Sidney Rice. It's really bizarre to me that he goes to Seattle where Tavares Jackson is, and he knows Tavares Jackson. So I'm not quite sure what that's all about other than money. I got other guys in Tier 4. You're off the collie, Michael Crabtree, Percy Harvin, and Rick, your boy Devon Bess. And, you know, just out of respect, I got to put Carolina Steve Smith at the end of Tier 4.
Oh, good one. A name that has yet to be mentioned.
And Sidney Rice. You know, they could start for any team in the league, and they're both languishing with crappy quarterbacks.
Yeah. All right, very good. We're talking wide receivers here. Let's see. Whew.
I thought Rev would be psyched. I had Amendola up there.
I like Amendola.
In a PPR league, man, you got to love him.
I think he's huge.
He's been performing in training camp, too. He's been doing very well.
I'm actually, you know what, I'm going to put my neck out on the line.
Uh-oh.
And say, I'm going to say that Danny Amendola has more catches than Wes Welker this year.
It's not crazy. I think it could be close. I don't think that's insane. I bet you if you want to bet that, though.
Now, if you tell me that Victor Cruz is going to have more receptions than Welker, then
all right,
I'll
well, you guys know I love me some Victor Cruz, but I'm going to tell you the one guy who's going to finish as a Tier 2 wide receiver that you guys failed to mention, that's Jacoby Ford. He's this year's Mike Wallace. He's going to bust out in a big way.
I hope you're right. I love him. Don't see the quarterback situation there helping him.
All right. Guys, A.J. Green has four catches already tonight. We haven't mentioned A.J. Green or Julio Jones or Greg Little.
Well, I didn't go through my tier four guys yet.
Go for it.
Sorry, Rev.
Why would I
do that to you? Go ahead, Trevor.
Hey, look, I'm going to start off with Lance Moore. There's a guy that none of you guys have brought up. You know, you throw out his injury mark 2009, and Lance Moore had a combined 214 targets, 145 catches, and 18 touchdowns between 2008 and 2010. He's Drew Brees' safety valve, and I think he's going to put up some nice numbers this year. Another guy I think is a Tier 4 guy who's going to emerge is Pierre Garçon. The guy makes spectacular catches, and he also has makes some big drops as well. But I think that he is Indianapolis' best deep threat, and he worked hard in the offseason with Chris Carter, interestingly enough. And I think that Pierre Garçon, you know, he's a guy who's very physical. I think he's become a better route runner. I think this guy's only going to get better. Julio Jones, I think, is a Tier 4 guy, one of the most physical receivers I've seen come out of college in the past few years. I'm very excited to watch him in action for the Falcons. I think he's going to help Roddy White as well. Jacoby Ford is a Tier 4 guy. He plays bigger than his 5'9 height. He catches the ball at its highest point. He's got that sub-4.3 speed. To me, Jacoby Ford is a poor man's DeSean Jackson. Another guy I think, and look, I don't love him, but I like the spot he's in, and that's Mike Sims-Walker. I think that the guy's having a great camp so far. And, you know, like him or not, the guy had 7 touchdowns in each of his last 2 seasons, so he is a red zone threat, and they are going to throw him the ball because he's got a lot of young guys around him. So he's really like, you know, one of the few veterans on that team. So, you know, by process of elimination, I think he's going to get some numbers this year. And then finally, a guy who's a little bit of a sleeper, but I kind of like him a lot, it's Jordan Shipley from Cincinnati.
Hey, now.
You know, hey, look, if they're going to go with Dalton, you know, the rookie quarterback there, you know he's going to check it down early and often, and Jordan Shipley's going to be there to catch the ball. I know the offensive coordinator, Jay Gruden, is expecting Jordan Shipley to be great, and I quote, great. And I like Shipley. He gets into his routes quickly. I think they're counting on Jordan Shipley to get about 70 receptions this year if he stays healthy. So, you know, there's a guy who a lot of people are not talking about, but a guy that I think could emerge.
Really? More than Quan Crosby?
Hey, guys, listen, before we move on, there are a couple names here I want to throw out to you, and I'll stick with you, Rev, real quick. James Jones, is this the year that he becomes the clear-cut number 2 ahead of Donald Driver this year? Or is Jordy Nelson the guy?
I think it changes from week to week on that team, you know? I think, you know who I like? I like the rookie over there. His name is escaping me. Randall Cobb. I love Randall Cobb, and I was really saddened by seeing James Jones re-sign because I think Randall Cobb is the guy who will become the next Donald Driver eventually. Even if it doesn't happen this year, I think he's going to be the guy there. He's the best slot receiver out of all those guys that you mentioned, I think. Quick, elusive, great after the catch. I think this guy's a playmaker, so I would try to give him as many reps as possible.
Ross, Roy Williams is the guy, when last time he played with Mike Martz, you know, he actually had 1,300 yards receiving back-to-back a couple years there in Detroit with Martz, where he really thrived. Any chance we could see similar type of success in Chicago?
Yeah, 2006 is a long time ago. You know, he's been in the 30s in receptions the last 3 seasons, and I just don't see that, you know, near tripling because he goes to Chicago. They're not a pass-happy team. They're going to run the ball. They had success when they kept the ball on the ground. Look, I think he's going to have a better season than he did last year. You know, he'll probably have somewhere in the neighborhood of 65 to 70 catches, maybe 750, 800 yards, and 6-7 touchdowns. But, you know, I don't know what's going on with the receiving situation over there with Knox and Bennett. And Adam, what are they going to do with Devin Hester? I think that experiment should be over. But I just don't trust that team to put it in the air enough to make him worth that much, especially when the weather turns. I don't see him being one of those guys who goes nuts and toughs it out and pulls out a 100-yard game in December at Soldier Field. I just don't see it happening.
Ralph, Braylon Edwards, 900 yards, 7 touchdowns. Is he the number one guy in San Fran, or does he play second fiddle to Crabtree?
I don't like Michael Crabtree, so I'm going to go with Braylon Edwards. I'm not the biggest Braylon Edwards fan either, but I do think that he is a bigger weapon. I think he's a better playmaker. I think he's the bigger receiver. I think he's a better deep threat than Michael Crabtree. And let's face it, Michael Crabtree hasn't proven anything. The guy doesn't like to work, and the guy's been injured a lot also. So I'm not expecting much out of Crabtree. I'll go with Braylon Edwards there.
He did prove he could walk around with the biggest entourage during NFL draft weekend. But one more guy I want to sneak in there, and I'll go to the Giants fan for an unbiased Jets fan point of view. Plaxico Burress, rub those crystal balls of yours, Rostradamus, and give me some projections here for Plaxi.
Yeah, I mentioned something in the chat room about Plaxico. I think he's going to be decent. I don't think he's going to recapture the magic. I think he scores, you know, let's say 750 yards and 7 touchdowns. I just don't see him having that big 1,200-yard, 10-touchdown season that all these Kool-Aid-drinking Jet fans think he's going to have.
I'd say he goes for maybe like 550 yards, 5 or 6 touchdowns in the best-case scenario.
I'll give him eight touchdowns. I'll give him 700 yards and 8 touchdowns.
That's the high end for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, the Fantasy Football Insiders Prime Time season preview show, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. We represent NFLDraftBible.com. If you don't know, now you know. We're going to break it down for you now. About 25 minutes left to get through the tight ends and team defense. We're going to do some quick hit and rapid style tight ends. We don't need to spend a significant amount of time on, but Ross, let me ask you, just hit us right off the top with your top 10 tight ends.
All right, here we go. Gates, JerMichael Finley, Dallas Clark, Vernon Davis, Jason Witten, superstar Jimmy Graham, and I like Owen Daniels, going to be underdrafted. Mercedes Lewis, got to give it up to him. Brandon Pettigrew, and rounding out the top 10, the old man, Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, I know you guys are both high on superstar Jimmy Graham. And, Rev, I know even you're a fan of Michael Finley, but number 2 overall?
Number 2.
Well, I actually have him at number 1.
There we go.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Listen, okay. I had JerMichael Finley number 1 last year. Unfortunately, he got hurt. But, you know,
I think
that. What
makes you believe he'll be the number 1 tight end this year?
I think he'd be number 1 if I wasn't concerned about the injury.
Yeah, exactly. I watched this guy play 2 years ago when he was healthy, and I'm assuming that he's healthy. The guy is a young player.
Even 2 years ago, it wasn't nothing. It wasn't spectacular. It wasn't cream of the
crop. Towards the end of the season, he was. Towards the end of the season, he was, you know. He was a guy who was coming into his own 2 years ago, and unfortunately, he got hurt last year. But to me, he plays with the best quarterback in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers is even better with JerMichael Finley in there. That's his safety valve. And he's a guy that, you know, he's not one of these tight ends that just catches the ball over the middle for 5 or 6 yards. This guy does something with the ball. He is a weapon. And so I think that, you know, Rodgers feels very comfortable with him. And as Donald Driver's role diminishes in that offense, I think that JerMichael Finley is going to emerge as one of the prime time guys there, one of the go-to guys. Offense, with that quarterback, that offensive line, with the way they score and that defense, I think JerMichael Finley is in a great position to do very well and to put up some great numbers. I think if he stays healthy, I think he puts up 1,000 yards and has double-digit touchdowns.
Easily.
Easily. Come on. The guy's never had more than 500 yards or 5 touchdowns.
He hasn't been in the league like 5 or 6 years, man. He's a young guy. You got to give him a chance.
Well, I mean, it's not.
Coming off an injury, you're going to bank on a guy coming off an injury and just say he's your number one tight end?
Antonio Gates is coming off an injury, and he's number one. Clark, injured.
I like Vernon Davis myself.
You're going to roll the dice with Alex Smith?
Vernon Davis is on the upside of his career, coming off 2 proven seasons. And Jason Witten, last time I checked, seems to be pretty consistent.
He's my number 2 guy.
He doesn't have the upside. He doesn't have the upside.
I'm not buying your Michael Finley that high, but go ahead, Rev. Hit us with your top 10.
All right. Well, 1 through 5, your Michael Finley, Jason Witten, Dallas Clark is my number 3 guy. Vernon Davis is number 4. Antonio Gates is number 5. And look, I think that when Antonio Gates is healthy, I think he's the best tight end in football. But he's got that foot issue, and he's still having problems with it right now. I'm sorry, that makes me a little bit nervous. And this year, with the tight end class being so deep, I'm not going to take a chance and overdraft Gates, you know, if he's going to go down in week 10, week 11 with that foot issue like he did last year.
Rev, 10 games last year, 10 touchdowns.
I understand that, but when you really need him, you know, during down the stretch, he's not going to be there. So, you know, I mean, I think I'd rather go with a guy like a Jason Witten or a Dallas Clark in that case.
Only Mercedes Lewis and Rob Gronkowski had 10 touchdowns. Only 3 tight ends had 10 touchdowns last year.
Well, look, Antonio Gates is still a top 5 guy. He's getting a little bit older. And, again, I don't know about his durability. You know, I need more assurances there if I'm going to make him my number 1 guy. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, my number six guy is Jimmy Graham. My number 7 guy, and this is a guy I normally just bash each and every year, but I actually like him this year, and that's Kellen Winslow Jr. He's going to be my number 7 guy. And you know what really tipped the scales for me on Kellen Winslow, what changed my mind? This offseason, he's had no knee surgery. The guy's as healthy as he's ever been, and the guy's pretty darn consistent. He's in an emerging offense, and you take a look at that offense. Outside of Mike Williams, you know, how many established pass catchers do they have on that team? He's the number 2 option there. So you know he's going to get a lot of balls thrown to him. Then my number 8 guy is Mercedes Lewis. The guy is so big that people can't tackle him. Owen Daniels is my number 9 guy. I'm not too crazy about him. He's never surpassed 5 touchdowns, but I love the team he's on. And my number 10 guy is going to be a little bit of a surprise, but I'm going to go with Jermaine Gresham.
That's right. If you tracked him last year,
his yards per catch went up steadily last year as he got more comfortable during the season. And let's not forget, during this rookie season, he was coming off of 2009 campaign where he didn't even play. You know, he was out with injury all year before entering the NFL.
I'll tell you what, we'll talk about it off the air, but we'll put a friendly wager. I bet you that Jermaine Gresham has more yardage and touchdowns than JerMichael Finley this year.
You're out of your mind. That's going to be a bet.
You're telling me if JerMichael Finley plays 16 games,
Jermaine Gresham will be a top 5 fantasy football producing tight end.
I'm writing it down right now.
He's not going to be better than Finley, though. He's not going to be better than Finley, though.
He will.
Okay.
You know, guys, can we talk about a couple of guys who changed locations and it's not going to help them in Zach Miller and Greg Olsen? I mean,
well,
can Greg Olsen do any worse than he did last year, though?
Yes.
I don't know about that. When you have a rookie quarterback like Cam Newton back there, I think he's going to dump it off to the tight end a lot.
I think he's going to stay in and block a lot. But, I mean,
I don't know.
Zach Miller, too. That guy's a top-five tight end
and
a good quarterback.
I agree with you on Zach Miller.
I think Zach Miller, all he knows how to do is catch the ball, and I think, again, T-Jax was going to need a safety valve. I think Zach Miller, let's be honest, Sidney Rice with the injury, BMW. I mean, Zach Miller might lead that team in receptions. Who knows?
But John Carlson is still there, too. Isn't John Carlson going to kill some of his value?
No, I don't think so. He didn't kill nobody's value last year, that's for sure. And listen, Olsen with Shockey and Chudzinski running that offense, they're going to do some 2 tight end spreads.
Yeah.
I think Newton will be checking down a lot. Let's be honest, though. None of those guys really are going to be high up on my list or my rankings.
That's what I'm saying. They should be. You know, they with a decent quarterback, they should be top 10 guys without a problem.
Well, what about a guy like Kellen Winslow? I don't think anybody mentioned.
No, Rev did, but you know what? He mentioned 5 touchdowns. That's the most he's ever scored, and I'll believe he's.
And what about your boy Chris Cooley?
Too banged up.
You know, that's a guy that I wouldn't touch this year. You know, he's already had his knee drained this summer, and I hate bringing up these knee drainings, but those things really concern me. You know,
and 77 he's got catches, 849 yards.
How many touchdowns though? How many touchdowns?
Two.
Three. What about a guy like Gronkowski or even Jared Cook in Tennessee?
I think Jared Cook is going to have a breakout season. I think that he's looking great in camp. I know Hasselbeck's been going to him a lot. He's making catches in the back of the end zone. I think that his arrow is pointed up. And you know, with Jared Cook, you know, finally, after all these years, Bo Scaife is out of the picture. So Jared Cook is the man in Tennessee.
What about Hernandez? You mentioned Gronkowski. What about Hernandez?
Yeah, Hernandez is another one. You know, 45 catches last year, 563 yards, 6 touchdowns. You know, Patriots have a lot of weapons.
Gronkowski's a little banged up.
And you mentioned Milwaukee earlier in the show. Very quietly, the fragile one, Todd Heap, 600 yards and 5 touchdowns last year.
He's my sleeper.
Maybe becomes the number 2 target in Arizona this year.
He's going to have a
you
nice
know,
season with Cobb. Cobb loves throwing to the tight end.
You know, in the chat room, the Joker brings up Fred Davis at tight end, and he's definitely one of my sleepers. You know, if this Chris Cooley knee issue ends up being bigger than it is right now, I loved what Fred Davis did a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And I think that guy's another weapon at tight end.
How about bend it like Beckham?
Need to see more out of him.
I don't know, man. He's just a slow wide receiver to me.
Well, as a Giants fan, I'm used to seeing that, except for recent years.
You know, the one guy that's really turning heads in Oakland is David Osbury, the tight end rookie from USC. And keep an eye on David Osbury maybe replacing Zach Miller in Oakland. Any other tight ends you guys want to talk about before we move on to team defense?
Well, I'll give you one guy. I know both of you are not big fans of him, but if this Jeremy Maclin thing really ends up being something that Philly has to be concerned about, then I think Brent Celek is a guy that is going to play a bigger role in that offense this year.
Yeah, I think guys like Celek and even your boy Dustin Keller could definitely see a little uptick, and I think Vic is definitely going to be comfortable throwing the ball to Celek with what's going on the edges there underneath. And, look, I think Dustin Keller is going to have a little knock up this year, and he's definitely draftable.
And one more question I want to ask, by the way. What do we do with Vishanti Shenko this year? Does Kyle Rudolph being there just, like, totally negate his value?
No, I mean, I think Ponder and Randolph are going to probably be, like, almost like a redshirt season, or at least half the season they're going to redshirt, but I don't know.
I mean, no Favre, younger tight ends.
That was Favre's guy. That was Favre's go-to guy.
He didn't really.
We haven't mentioned the Reverend's favorite, Ben Watson.
That's
actually
guy.
I think Evan Moore is a deep sleeper there out in Cleveland. I think obviously he's younger. He's a converted wide receiver. He's much more athletic than Ben Watson is at this stage. I would be more comfortable just going with Evan Moore in the last round and just, you know, rolling the dice with him.
Huh. All right. Well, that about does it for the tight end talk. We're going to wind it down with some team defense. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, the team defense leagues also combine the special team stats this year. It's a little bit different with the kickoff return rule. Kick returns are not really going to be much of a factor, but, you know, unless you get a rare guy like a Devin Hester or Dante Hall, or, you know, you want to throw Joshua Cribbs in there, these guys aren't really making much of a difference. So team defense / special teams, started off with you, Ross. Give me the cream of the crop for your team defense.
Yeah, I really have four teams that I think are a cut above everybody else, and that's Pittsburgh, Green Bay, the Jets, and Philadelphia. I have four teams that are slightly below them in San Diego, New England, Baltimore, and the Bears. But I really think those four, if you're going to get one, if you're going to reach for a defense, you better get one of those four.
Rev.
Yeah, my cream of the crop, I'm going to go with Green Bay. I'm going to go with Philadelphia. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. I'm going to go with the Jets. And I'm going to go with New England as well. You know, New England, I think they brought in a lot of guys. I think, you know, bringing in somebody like an Andre Carter, they're saying that they want to go to the 4-3 a lot more this year. I think a guy like Andre Carter can step in and be a difference maker on that defense. So I'm going to go with Green Bay, Philly, Pittsburgh, New England, and the Jets.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned New England. I think we will see more of the 4-3. Do you think that will be the prominent defense that they feature? Will we see more 4-3 than 3-4 from New England this year?
I think so. Because you bring in a guy like Albert Haynesworth, and he's a 4-3 guy. He's not a 3-4 guy. And the thing that Haynesworth did a lot also when he was in Tennessee is they used to line him up at defensive end on third downs. So I think that's something that we might see because Haynesworth wants to rush the passer. If you don't make him rush the passer, if you don't make him get a few sacks, he's not going to be a happy man. So I think Belichick is going to play a lot more 4-3 just to, you know, satisfy Haynesworth. And when you bring in a guy like Andre Carter, he has already proven that he's not a 3-4 guy. So I think we're going to see a lot more of 4-3.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I think they have the defensive ends. I think people are more – the guys they have that can play there are probably more comfortable playing the 4-3. You know, and you got guys who are quick being able to cover the field at linebacker with that. And, I don't know what Brandon Spikes is going to do, but he certainly played the mic in college. So we'll see what he could do. And you got, you know, Mayo. You know, I think their talent is more conducive to playing that system. And, you know, I think they'll mix it up. They'll confuse people. And I think there'll be an overall pain in the neck. And, you know, I don't think, Reb, you're crazy for having him in the first tier.
You know, the Steelers led all teams with sacks 48 last year. The Detroit Lions had 44, believe it or not. And we mentioned, you know, Fairley is off to an injury start, but you know, is that a number that the Lions could improve upon? 44 sacks from a year ago. Is it possible that Detroit leads the NFL in sacks this year?
I won't go that far, but I think their overall defense will probably improve a little bit, but the secondary is still very vulnerable. So you can't really put them in that top one, first or second tier for me, and they're the same as Houston. I think Houston's going to be improved, especially in the secondary. You know, nice signings of Joseph and Manning, but I worry a little bit about Cushing, our boy. And, you know, I worry a little bit about Mario Williams in the system, but look, you know, J.J. Watt, an equally solid addition is Wade Phillips, who knows how to make that 3-4 work, and we'll see if he can do it there.
Well, you know something in general about these 3-4 defenses? It usually takes about 2 years for that transition to be successful, going from the 4-3 to the 3-4. Now, I don't know, maybe in Houston, because they have some good talent, maybe they might be able to make that transition a little bit more quicker, but I don't really see Dallas having a great defense. Not yet, anyway. I think it's going to take them a little while. And they're especially weak, you know, at the safety position. I'm not in love with their defensive backfield in general. And they're soft up the middle, so I think we could see a lot of shootouts whenever Dallas takes the field.
I agree. You know, Rick, I do have two defenses that I think you can wait for. They're going to be pretty much of a bargain. Look, first of all, I think the Saints' balanced offense and a very good secondary, Cam Jordan board, I think they're going to be undervalued. And another defense that I really think is going to be undervalued is the Chiefs. I love the secondary, Flowers, Carr, Eric Berry, Tom Holley, you know, and some guys that were left for dead, like Glenn Dorsey, actually showing up. And you know they plug in Kelly Gregg there. I kind of like the Chiefs' D.
It's a defense on the rise, definitely.
It's definitely been rebuilt the last couple seasons.
since Scott Pioli's taken over. If you guys don't have any other defenses you want to discuss, we
well,
have
actually, I just wanted to mention one under-the-radar defense that I think is going to emerge like somewhere toward mid-season, and that's the Arizona Cardinals. You know, they brought in a new defensive coordinator, Ray Horton. He's an assistant coach who used to coach with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he's bringing in that type of 3-4 system there. And you take a look at that lineup, and they have a lot of young, talented guys. You know, Dan Williams at nose tackle, Darrell Washington at linebacker, Paris Lennon, O'Brien Schofield was going to rush the passer, Kerry Rhodes at safety. I mean, they've got some good talent over at Calais Campbell at defensive end. They've got some good talent on that defense. I think if they get on the same page with their new defensive coordinator, I think that's a team, that's a defense that could really improve in the second half.
Peterson, you know, I worry a little bit about the corners. But
well,
I think
they
you're
got
right.
Richard Marshall out of Carolina, too, along with Peterson.
Oh,
Richard Marshall's no slouch.
And
yeah,
they
you know,
Joey
but, you know,
Porter?
You got Toler and A.J. Jefferson up there. Michael
yeah,
Adams.
Jefferson's a guy I liked coming out of college.
Really? I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I don't disagree that they're going to play much better in the second half, but, you know, maybe a bye week start.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, don't forget, they also got Stuart Bradley. I know the guy gets hurt a lot, but when he's on the field, I mean, the guy's a tremendous inside linebacker.
True.
Well, interesting points made there. Here you have Rick Seratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, the Fantasy Football Insiders Show Primetime. We are NFLDraftBible.com. You can follow us on Twitter at NFLDraftBible, and you'll find all of our tweets tweeting away and our handles. Real quick, we got a couple of minutes to toss around some games going on now. We talked about the Tampa Bay situation. Could it be Sammy Stroud or could it be Aurelius Ben? One player who's been just lighting up training camp, and now it appears the first preseason game, Desmond Briscoe, the product. 4 catches for 60 yards already in the first half. This guy's been making a highlight reel thus far in training camp. We should mention his name because there's a very good chance, just like Mike Williams last year for Tampa Bay, Desmond Briscoe could come out of nowhere and surprise.
Or he could be
Victor
Cruz.
Yeah, I agree. Briscoe's
or
a
could
big
be
guy.
Victor Cruz.
Yeah,
Briscoe.
Hey, let me just tell you this. Anyone who knows Tampa Bay will tell you that the rest of the team does not like this guy. He didn't go to any of the workouts in the offseason, and that was his reputation as a college football player. So I would not expect too much from him. You know, not a good friend coming out of KU.
Well, there was no offseason workouts this year, my friend.
No, there were voluntary workouts, and he didn't go.
Well, the guy made some plays at the end of the year last year. So
yeah, but look,
he's not...
man, I follow the Big 12 or what used to be the Big 12 big time, and he had a humongous reputation of being a kind of a guy who did not put in the time at all.
Well, look, if Aurelius Ben doesn't come back healthy, you know, how many guys do they have that they can go to on that team? Sammy Stroud is a nice slot guy, but he's kind of small. You know, at least Desmond Briscoe's got some size. He can go downfield, and he can catch the ball over guys, you know?
That's true, but look, your work ethic matters, man, and what your teammates think of your work ethic matters.
Hey, what about a guy in the preseason showing some signs of life? Aaron Brown, a forgotten running back from TCU on the Lions roster. You know, we mentioned LeSure going down, and they have Jerome Harris in there. But what about a guy like Aaron Brown?
He's not big enough for the NFL. To me, he's more of a situational type back. He's a satellite back. You know, he's not a guy that I would have any use for in fantasy leagues.
I don't think Detroit does either. They wouldn't have brought in Harrison and Mike Bell.
Well, you know, if LeSure or if Best happens to go down, you know, he did get a couple starts last year for the Lions, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. So I'm not saying to run out and grab him, but you know, he's a guy that can run, catch.
Is he
this year's
Jalen Parmalee?
No, Jalen Parmalee is this year's Jalen Parmalee.
I don't even think Brown will make the roster, to be honest.
All right, well, Jalen Parmalee.
Rick, I like your
Bernie
proposal
Parmalee.
Of Tashard Choice going to Detroit. I like that proposal.
Yeah, I think that'll be something that, you know, we'll keep an eye on as the cut NFL cuts come down the wire. You know, I know the Giants will be on the look for a tight end maybe. But just wanted to throw around some preseason notes here on this August 12th, 2011. Five games on the docket, five games yesterday, and we got five games tomorrow, I believe. So football is back. The Fantasy Football Insiders are back. And you got to tune in for the NFL Draft Bible for more updates. Again, you can follow us on Twitter, at NFL Draft Bible. Until then, you know what time it is now, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Y'all ready for this? I like to move it, move it. 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 Give it up, go.
Welcome to the big show.
A couple of tackles. And look at him go!